Morning.
Morning.
It's good to be back here this morning. Good to be with y'all this morning. You know, if we believe like we claim we do as Primitive Baptists, we believe that our salvation was secured on the cross and there's no work that we can do to acquire our eternal salvation, and that's what we hold on to, then some people might say, well, what's the point in preaching the gospel? What's the point in spending all this time sitting around in church? What's all this point in time of spending all this time in prayer if no matter what you do in life, you're going to go to heaven anyway? What's the point? So this morning I asked, what is the point of preaching the gospel? I'll ask this question. Is the gospel important? Thank you. I'm glad somebody said something. I'd hate for it to be crickets. No, it's important. The gospel is important. Why? Because we need to hear it. We need to be reminded on a daily basis. You know, it's a wonderful thing to think about that, yes, our salvation was secure on the cross. The work that Christ was sent to do was finished. He accomplished it at Jerusalem. It's done. There's nothing that I can add to that and nothing that I can take away from that. That is a wonderful message. But until the Lord touches and tenders our heart, it falls on deaf ears. So we're thankful for hearing the gospel, because if you can hear the gospel, if you understand the gospel, if your spirit within you is rejoicing at hearing the gospel, hearing of that old, old story that's sweet every time we hear it, brothers and sisters, that means that's just a good evidence that you're a born-again child of God. Whether you've made a shipwreck of your life, whether you feel like you've done enough good in this life or not. Brother and sister, if you're feeling those, if the gospel touches and tenders your heart, if you can respond to it, you already have spiritual life. Because we, what was that, 2 Corinthians 2:14, the natural man receiveth not the things of the spirit because they're spiritually discerned. I didn't quite quote the entire verse, but that's the gist of it. They're spiritually discerned. Until we're born again of the Spirit, we cannot receive anything of the Spirit. Does that make sense? Until you have the Spirit of God, you can't see anything of the Spirit of God. Something has to happen for you to receive that, right? Well, in Romans chapter 10, verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Amen? Amen. That's right. I love to hear that verse. You know, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But is your calling upon the Lord what saved you? Absolutely not. I've already said, Christ accomplished that work. That work is finished. So it can't mean eternal salvation. If we're trying to say that us calling upon the Lord is what made us saved. No, he says it's a simple statement of fact. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then he says, how then shall they call on him who they have not believed? Do you believe in Jesus Christ this morning? Where did you get that belief from? Did mom and daddy instill that belief into you? Did somebody you know instill that belief in you? Yeah, he says, and how shall they believe in him who they have not heard? Well, belief is one of those things. Belief comes from faith. And how do you get faith? You know, most of the time we hear a lot in the religious world that, you know, everybody's got a little bit of faith and you just got to exercise and got to work it. And, you know, if you just have faith in God and use your mouth to confess, then you can be saved. You can add to the elect. Sorry, brethren, but that book's already been written. And if you have a desire to call upon the name, it says right here, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So if you've ever had a desire in your life, do you want to call upon the name of the Lord? You have a love for God or have a love for your fellow brethren or sister. Brothers and sisters, you are one of the saved. It's that simple. And it says, how shall they call on him who they have not believed? Well, if we go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8, you see about that faith is that free gift that is given of God. When was it given? when he touched and tendered that heart of yours, quickened your spirit when you were born again. Remember, when Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, he says, except you be born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. You cannot see it. That sounds like over in Corinthians, where we talk about we're spiritually discerned. Until we're born of the Spirit, we cannot receive these things. We cannot see these things. So when we're born of the Spirit, then we can start believing. Then we have that faith. Now, the Lord has told us that faith, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you know, that really small, tiny seed, it needs to grow. So when the Lord touches and tenders our heart, does he immediately flip a switch and bam, we know everything about the Bible? We know all about the scriptures? We know everything about the Bible? No. The Lord does his work and gives us spiritual life. And now, when the gospel comes in. The gospel is the good news to the born again child of God. You've been blessed with that spirit. So when you hear the gospel and you know that your warfare is accomplished, Jesus Christ secured his people. I love to go over to Ephesians and read about according as he had chosen, God the Father chosen us in him. Who is he talking about? Who's he chosen us in him for? Jesus Christ. He placed us in him, the most secure place he possibly could put them. Amen. And we're secure in Christ before the very foundation of the world. So when we hear this and the spirit within us just rejoices, that's the good news to the born-again child of God. Somebody who may have gone astray, somebody who may have lived a terrible life or whatever, next thing you know, they feel convicted of their sins. They feel sorry for things. That's when the gospel comes in. That's when the gospel has effect on somebody. You know, we can't sit there and point and choose out who's a born-again child of God or not. We can see some evidence, and we can say, okay. But sometimes you don't see any evidence. Sometimes people are running from it. Sometimes people don't want to know about it. You remember that prodigal son? He came to his father and said, give me my inheritance, I'm out of here. Did he ever stop being a son to that man? No. Even though he went out and wasted his living, you know, and riotous living, and lived a terrible life and down to destitute and had nothing left, he never stopped being his son. That's us. Brothers and sisters, the Lord chose us before the foundation of the world. There's nothing I can do to separate myself from the love of Christ, from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Again, we're in Christ Jesus. That's when the gospel is good news to the born-again child of God. So God has to work on us first. Now, some people will try to say this passage of Scripture right here is like, that's why we need preachers. The preacher has to go and preach somebody so they can receive the spiritual life so they can be saved. Well, let's look at it. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call upon him who they have not believed? And how shall they believe on him who they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring the glad tidings of good things. I want to focus on that. And how shall they preach except they be sent? There's passages in the Bible where we read, and one is over in Acts chapter 8. Do you remember Philip when he was sent? Philip was sent to that Ethiopian man who was was in the chariot, and he was leaving Jerusalem. Now, why was he leaving Jerusalem? Let's go over there to Acts chapter 8 real quick. Trying to be mindful of the time. Acts chapter 8, verse 27. And he arose and went. This is talking about Philip. And he arose and beheld a man of Ethiopian eunuch, a great authority under Candace, queen of Ethiopia, who had laid charge of her all of her treasure and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. This man had already come to Jerusalem to worship. I'm sorry, but you can't worship the Lord unless you have the Spirit of God within you. But do you remember he joined himself to that chariot and he heard him reading from Isaiah. And he said, "Understandest what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I let some man teach me? Let some man show me." That's the thing. He said, verse 30 at the end of there. And he said, "Understandest what thou readest?" And he said, "How can I set some man guide me?" And his desire, and he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. I knew what I said didn't sound right. That's why we need to be reading scriptures, right? Let some man guide me. Now, obviously, when he took that same passage and he preached on him, Jesus, the spirit within him was rejoicing because when they got to water, he was just like, "There's water. What's stopping me from being baptized?" That man was believing in God before Philip even got there. But Jesus sent Philip. He said, "The angel of the Lord sent Philip." He sent him to him. Why? Because there was somebody believing that needed to hear the gospel. What about Saul of Tarsus? When he was struck down on the road to Damascus. You remember what Saul said, breathing out threatening fires? He was struck down by that light and he said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And then he said, "What would thou have me do?" Now, when the Lord struck Paul down, did Paul just immediately know everything about Jesus? No. What happened? He was sent somebody. Somebody was sent to him. Ananias was sent to him. Over in Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9 and verse 11. The Lord speaking to Ananias. And verse 10. Let's pick up verse 10. Acts chapter 9 verse 10. "And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And he said unto the Lord, and to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth." Something had happened. Something happened to Saul of Tarsus first. Because the Lord said, "Behold, he prayeth." And you remember, Ananias was like, "Lord, I've heard of this man." But because the Lord said, "He prayeth," he needed to hear the gospel. He needed to hear those words. So the Lord sent Ananias. Life is not gained to us by the gospel. The Lord gives life. I was reading the other day about Lazarus. After he had been dead 4 days. You know, that's dead, right? That's 4 days dead. There's nobody can say, "Well, you know, he was just, you know, in a coma." No, he was dead. And Jesus said to remove the stone. And they removed the stone, and in a loud voice he cried, "Lazarus, come forth." And it says, Lazarus came forth. Now, if you read the literature there, it says he come forth bound hand and foot in grave clothes. That's right. So I don't know if he floated out of there, hopped out of there, whatever. But Lazarus came forth. But he was bound in grave clothes. And Jesus told them around him, said, "Loose him and let him go." Brothers and sisters, Jesus, God has to give us life. When God grants us life, when he speaks to our heart and we are granted life, that spiritual life, brothers and sisters, it's like we're coming forth out of the tomb bound in grave clothes. We need somebody to come by and help us, take us, and loose us. That's why the scripture said, know the truth and the truth will make you free. Not set you free, make you free. Well, what's the difference? Well, there's a big difference. Think about this. If you're a prisoner and you're waiting around in prison or whatever, and there's an earthquake happens and a wall collapses and you get out, boy, you're set free. But are you really free? If you're caught again, you're going back. But if the governor calls and pardons you, you are made free. Brothers and sisters, what Jesus accomplished on the cross is so much more than just a pardon. Our sins will never be remembered against us anymore. Can you imagine that? I mean, just not just saying, well, you know, you're pardoned. You know, because you know, I don't really like to use that when it comes to salvation by Jesus Christ. Because we're not just a bunch of pardoned sinners up there. Because a pardon is, well, you know, I'm going to let you off of this. You know, even though you're guilty, you did what you did. But I'm going to let you off of it. Jesus wiped the slate clean, bore our sins away, as far as the east is from the west. Bore them away. He took it upon himself and destroyed it. And it's never to be remembered against us ever again. Brothers and sisters, that is the good news to the born again child of God. Because if we have been granted spiritual life and we're still bound in our grave clothes, we need somebody to come and help us and make us free. Take us loose so we can walk around, so we can enjoy life. That's what the Lord said, I'm come so they might have life and they might have it more abundantly. So let's not go back into the bondage when we're thinking we're having to save somebody's soul from eternal hell. There is a saving influence. Remember when Peter would say on the day of Pentecost, save yourselves from this untoward generation. It's exactly what he said. Save yourselves from this untoward generation. There's a saving influence. You know, that's one thing we have to look at, the timely salvation and eternal salvation. If you can get that, the scriptures will make so much more sense to you. But again, how can I let some man guide me? Why is preaching the gospel so important? Because we need to be loosed. We need to be made free. I hope and pray that when we're studying, when we're asking the Lord, and God help us, guide us, whatever, I'm hoping that the pastors of churches that we attend will be blessed by the Lord. Be seeking His guidance on what we as the church need to hear. And brothers and sisters, the gospel is the good news of born-again child of God. And it's a little quote I saw one time. It says, preaching of the gospel is not to save the enlightened, but to enlighten the saved. Amen. We need to be enlightened. We need to be taught. We need to be trained up. Especially the children, they need to be trained up. They need to be brought up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. They need to know where real strength, real help, and real hope comes from. There's a lot of things out there they can put their hopes in, and they're going to be dashed. They're going to be disappointed. You know, one day you're going to realize mom and daddy can't do everything. See, right now, I'm doing pretty good. Right now, daddy can do a lot of good things. There's almost nothing I can't fix. But my daughter's getting older, and some things are harder to fix, and some things are impossible for me to do. But I want her to know that there is one that nothing is impossible with. That's where real strength, real help, real hope comes from. Brothers and sisters, that's why it's important. That's why we need to get up here each and every time. That's why we need to come. That's why we need to listen. That's why we have the gospel. May the Lord bless you.
Amen.